not what you have, but it's who you know that determines where one day you'll go. You can have a fortune and lose your soul. It's not what you have, but it's who you know. Do you testify? Tell about his word. Make sure it's known and make sure it's heard. Do you plant the seed? Do you pray and plead that before they die, they will believe? It's not what you have, but it's who you know that determines where one day you'll go. You can have a fortune and lose your soul. It's not what you have, but it's who you know. You may have a house high on the hill and have the money to buy a bill, but if you don't know Jesus Christ, your money can't buy eternal life. It's not what you have, but it's who you know that determines where one day you'll go. You can have a fortune and lose your soul. It's not what you have, but it's who you know. It's not what you have, but it's who you know that determines where one day you'll go. You can have a fortune and lose your soul. It's not what you have, but it's who you know. It's not what you have, but it's who you know that determines where one day you'll go. You can have a fortune and lose your soul. It's not what you have, but it's who you know. It's not what you have, but it's who you know. But it's who you know. Do you know Jesus?
Or what we've got to look forward to later. But just for this little window of time, try to let go of whatever's on your mind, whatever's concerning you. And God is so worthy to be praised. So please stand with us. We're going to sing I See the Lord. And just focus on, I mean, the words of this song. He's so holy. He is worthy to be praised.
doing this. Our series is on catching a vision for worship. You know, that song is about a vision that Isaiah had that's recorded in the gospel, the book of Isaiah chapter 6. And I just want y'all to just take a moment, close your eyes right now, take a moment and imagine the words of that song again. I see the Lord seated on the throne, exalted. And the train of His robe, I mean, just the offspring of what's coming off of Him fills the whole earth with His glory. There's not a place on this earth you can go to where He's not worthy of glory and praise because He's holy. He's holy, holy, holy. Oh, Father God, thank You for loving us. Thank You for the opportunity we have to come and worship You freely. So many places in the world, they would love to come and sing like we just did. And Father, would You help us for the remainder of this service, not to be watching a performance, but to be part of the choir. To be part of the choir lifting up praise to You. Asking, Father, for You to receive the sacrifice offering of the praise from our lips to You, to Your heart, for Your glory, giving You thanks because You're worthy. Lord, we love You and we give You all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Sing it.
Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin. God is here to fill you up with all of His glory and all of His hope and all of His love. As we sing this song, just take this time to just worship God with everything that's in you. Leave everything else behind and come to the well and get filled.
Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. I have what you need, but you keep on searching. Done all the work, but you keep on working when you're running on empty and you can't find a remedy. Just come to the well. You can spend your whole life chasing what's missing, but that empty inside, it just ain't gonna listen when nothing can satisfy and the world leaves you high and dry. Just come to the well. And all who thirst will thirst no more. And all who search will find what their souls
Sunday a year ago, and there are are times when I've just really been struggling with loneliness for him. If you've lost a loved one that's close to you, you probably know what that feeling is. But especially when I'm in certain places, like when I walk into his room where we cared for him, you know, his presence is not there. And when I go down to the shop that he worked in, his presence is not there. And when I'm outside in the space where my dad was just always so busy, his presence is not there. And it's just that loneliness that takes over at times. I was praying about it yesterday, and God showed me something. He said, Kim, my presence is in every one of those places. When you walk into your dad's room, my presence is there. My presence is filling that place. My presence is filling the outside. There is no place that you can get away from God's presence. Every room that you walk into, every city that you go to, every dark place that you're in, God's presence is there. David even said, if I go down into the depths of hell, God's presence is there. There's no place that you can get away from the Lord. So if you're going through a time like that, and if you have that loneliness at times, I just pray that you would focus on God's presence, because he fills everything. And when you're with him, then you're not alone. And something else that the Lord shared with me just to comfort my heart about a month ago when I was thinking of the same thing. He said, Kim, I'm here with you. I'm holding your hand. And on the other side of eternity, I'm holding your dad's hand. You are not that far from him when you are in Christ. And if you've lost a loved one that's in Christ, you are not that far from them. You will see them again. Just focus on the Lord as we sing Holy Spirit.
Tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, when my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Holy Spirit, you are.
As he brings us the message, and help us to have our ears open and our hearts open to hear what he has to say. In Jesus' name, amen.
It's good to worship God. Y'all listen. What we do when we gather together in the name of Jesus Christ, we're not just singing songs. This isn't about going through some ritual, some shared cultural experience. Well, this is just what people do at church. I mean, it's true, it's what we do, but if we don't know why we do it, if we don't tie into the fact that God is and that He is worthy of our praise and of our worship, and if we don't grow like that song, it's one of those songs that have come out in the modern worship scene that actually tries to teach us about worship, where we're more and more mindful that God's presence of being actually with us. Oh, y'all, that's where it's at. That's where it's at. That's what we're going to talk about today. For Nani's class, if you have not broke, break. Okay? I don't see anybody breaking. We're going to be, I have two verses. They're written for you on your handout, but they're probably going to be up on the screen too. If you have your Bible, you can open to Revelation 19 and verse 7. I don't know how you can do it. You can hold your finger at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. But I'm going to read both those verses right now. And we're just going to walk through them a little bit. Let us be glad and rejoice and give Him glory. For the marriage supper of the Lamb has come and His wife has made herself ready. It's Hebrews 19, Revelation 19, 7. Hebrews 13, 15 says, therefore, by Him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Let me pray for us. Father God, we're a group of people. Without You, we're just like any other group of people. But with You here, with the faith You've given us to put in Christ and to be in Christ, we have the potential of being a mighty choir. We have the potential to be those who are going to shower You with glory and affection and thanks and love and praise. With You, Father, there's healing. With You, there's comfort for the bereaved. For You, there's strength for the weak. For You, there's riches for those impoverished. For You, there's hope for the hopeless. There's light for those in dark. With You, Lord, it's a whole different ball game. Help us as a church cultivate Your presence that we might worship You and look to join our voices, our hearts, and everything, our minds together as we lift You high. We love You, Lord, and we give You all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. In our series so far, I've been very careful to build a foundation for real worship. Real worship is not a music style. Real worship is not a type of song or a type of program or a type of something. Real worship is when we catch a vision of who God is. And in that vision, become overwhelmed in surrendering ourselves, our service, our praise, and our loyal love, our devotion to Him. It's really about Him. It's not about us. And yet, in the church, oftentimes, not in this church, but we're not immune, believe me, things like that can happen here. But in the church of Christ, in His church, people have had worship wars over what kind of style of music. Is it going to be contemporary music? Can we have a drum set? Can we play a guitar? Can we have it this way or that way? Is it going to be hymns? Is it going to be blended? Is it going to be Southern gospel? Are we going to have people to sing? Are we not going to have people? What are we going to do? And the church literally has fought each other over these things. And nothing betrays the fact that we don't know anything about worship than when we fight about the style. Nothing exposes the fact that we're kind of self-centered and selfish people than when we decide, I don't want to go there because it's not my style. I don't want to go there because, it's not about what the Lord wants. I just don't like it. It don't suit me. I understand. We live in a place with so many choices of where you go to church. So many choices of who you're going to listen to preach and what songs you're going to. I understand. We live in a buffet of worship styles and experiences. But can I encourage you to look past the shallow, to look past the eternally insignificant, and look to God, who is going to be there when the style that we have goes away and a new style takes its place? And when that style goes away and a new style takes its place, there'll still be the same God who's worthy of worship. When we get to heaven, ain't none of us leading the choir. But we are going to be blessed to praise Him. You reckon anybody's going to try to change heavens because they're not getting fed? Well, I made it to heaven, but I'm not really getting fed. I think over here, it seems like Gabriel's leading a different kind of choir over here. I think I'm going to go over there and join up with them and sing over there. But I don't want to hurt Michael's feelings, but the songs he leads, they're a little bit, they're a little slower. They seem kind of older. He's still in that holy, 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 and I'm wanting over over here where worthy, worthy, worthy. And you think there's going to be that kind of tension in heaven? Man, we're going to look at God. And when we see Him on the throne, it's like that song, I can only imagine what it'd be like. Will I stand in Your presence? Will I dance in Your presence? Will I even be able to stand? Will I sing? Will I even be able to speak at all? I don't know. I can only imagine. It's going to be so great to see Him. You know, part of what we do when we come in together as a church is to cultivate, to grow, to develop that view that sees God high and lifted up. Now, you might say, well, God gave that vision to Isaiah. Well, man, I pray He blesses us, gives us that vision too. God gave that vision to Isaiah. He gave that vision to Ezekiel. He gave that vision to John. He gave that vision to Paul. And you know what I know about those men, and I know the same is with us? We're created in the image of God just like they are. If you put your faith in Christ, we get to see that. You know, I don't know. God may give us that exalted vision that we see it with our eyes, but until then, we can put our mind on Him. We can put our heart on Him. We can put our strength on Him. We can put our soul on Him. And if I'm not mistaken, that's actually what He asked for from you and me. For the first and great commandment is this: love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and your soul, and your strength. I didn't hear eyes in there anywhere. We can lift ourselves, our being, and say, we belong to God. Now I'm going to take these verses. I'm just going to bring four practical aspects of worship. Up until now, like I said, I've been very careful to lay the foundation. Now we're going to build on that foundation, so that we can say, why are we here? What are we doing here? What's the importance of it? And here's just some biblical principles to lay on that foundation. First one is that we gather together. This is no solo mission. There's a reason for us to be together. Both of these verses, it says, let us. Therefore, by Him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. Let us Be glad and rejoice and give him glory. Doesn't say let you and me. This is no individual mission. This is no solo trip. We're not to be special forces Christian, covertly in the dark behind enemy territory, trying to hide out and live our Christian life unto ourselves only. There's a reason to gather together. And I think it's because God loves to hear a choir. And you might say, John, that sounds weird, but I think it's true. That song, I see the Lord seated on the throne, exalted, and the train of his robe fills the temple with glory. Listen, I was at the Pontiac Silver Dome in Pontiac, Michigan, with 80,000 of my closest male friends. 80,000. And we sang that song, and we're lifting the roof off of that place. And I can tell you this, it wasn't about how we sang. It was that we lifted our hearts, gathered together unto the Lord. And you would have to know that building. It actually has a roof that looks like a giant parachute. The air pressure inside the building is what actually keeps the roof up. It's a cloth parachute nylon-y roof. And I'm going to tell you, it seemed like one of those Jiffy Pop popcorn things when we started singing. It was like, it was going pop! Man, 80,000 men singing with all their heart and all their might. And I don't know that it has to just be big groups. That's not what I'm saying, but I think he loves it when his people get together and join their voices with their hearts, mind, soul, and strength and praise him. You know, if he wanted you to worship on your own, he would send you a text message. I promise, in our day and time, it's what do you do? He would text you on Sunday morning and say, honey, no need to get up. When you finally do get up, just read these Bible verses, sing hymn 23, you know, the first, second, and third, or fourth verse, you know, leave the third one out, you know, because God does it the Baptist way, and then just, you're good. Or you know what, plug in K-Love and just listen to your favorite tunes until you feel worshipful inside. Go ahead and do it until you feel good inside. Go ahead and do it until you feel satisfied with what you've done. Do it until you see God somewhere out there for you and for you. Oh my goodness. You know, the old thing, we pick on these old dudes. He's got, well, I ain't going to go to church. I'm going to go fish. I can worship God on that lake. You can, but you can't be a choir member for God out on that lake or on that golf course or in that hunting blind or at St. Mattress Cathedral. You'll get that later when you listen to it. You can't be part of that voice, that body. You'll never be a part of let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. It'll always be about you. And there's so many excuses. I don't like to go to church because the people at church are dumb. Besides me, right? That's probably not exactly accurate, but let me tell you. They say, people at church, I don't like church people, they're hypocrites, and I don't want to go there. Where do you want to go hang out with your hypocrites at? Because they're all over the place. I was reminded, anyways, I got a Facebook message from a guy who I went to college with, and it reminded me of how, what I did. I was a bouncer working my way, you know, when I went to college, before I worked at FedEx, I worked at a bar, and, you know, the good thing about bars, there's no hypocrites there. You know, everybody's very honest about what they're doing. You know, they're very straightforward. They speak the truth. You know, they're always just real transparent about their motives for why they're there. And oh, wait a minute. Yeah, that's a joke. Right. They're so dishonest, they got to intoxicate themselves to even be in that dark environment, that dark meat market environment. They got to intoxicate their brains because a purely sober person wouldn't subject themselves to that, honestly. So you turn the lights down low. You turn the music up loud. Why? So you can't think. And for those who can think through dark and loud music, they're going to hand you a drink and another one and another one and another one. Why? So you'll do something stupid. Come on. We'll get together with them and we'll sing out in choirs. A concert ain't nothing but a big old choir. What if I said you ain't never going to go to a concert ever again? You don't need to ever go to a concert ever again. You don't need to see your favorite bands going out there and singing and being in that thing and waving your hands and singing and enjoying yourself. Look, this is when we get together. This is when the church gets together. It's not a solo mission. It's for us. And we need it. I need it. I mean, I can point at you and say, y'all need to be here. I need to be here. I don't always share that, and Sarah's here, and so I probably shouldn't even share this stuff because she gets on me. You know, but I get depressed. I get down. I mean, I just have periods of down. Y'all know me. I'm kind of fired up. Well, let me tell you, that's because I'm an extrovert. I like to be around a lot of people. See all you people? I love being around all you people. Where are you all at for the rest of the week? Okay, so when I'm there and that big group of people's gone, and it's just people that I'm responsible for and all this stuff, let me tell you what happens to me. I get down. Not through sin. It's just a personality issue. It's something goofy that's with me. It's my own faults and failings and all those things. It's personal to me. I've been down this week, but I am so fired up now. I need to be with you all to sing praises to God. And I don't know what your deal is, but I know the way God designed us, we all need to be with us. Let us come together and do this. Not only are we gathered together, but glad and rejoicing. This is the attitude. This is the atmosphere. Let us be glad and rejoice. There ought to be an attitude and an atmosphere to a worship service. And it ought not be the same as a funeral service. It ought to be a lot more like a wedding, like a concert, like a stadium where they just won the Super Bowl, or some of those crazy folks over in Europe. That's going to be the last thing on there. Some of those crazy folks in Europe. Glad that's online. Everybody can hear. Crazy folks in Europe at those soccer matches when somebody, whoever, scores a goal from way out in their soccer team wins and they go nuts and tear everything up. And now we shouldn't do that part. But how is it that we can say we know the God of heaven has done everything he can do and needed to do to save us, that we might share heaven with him for eternity, and that we're saved and that every spiritual blessing in Christ belongs to us, and then come to a church service where we're supposed to unite our hearts up together and we'll be like, I see the Lord seated on the throne, exhausted, and oh, that's not the word. How in the world can we come and be so dull? How can we be so dead? Somebody taught you, I know you're here. Somebody taught you somewhere, come to church, sit down, shut up. That's what we tell our kids, sit down and shut up. And somehow they believe that mess. Oh man, I shouldn't even go here, but I can't help. Somewhere we told them too about the marital act. And for their whole grown up life, we said no, 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 no. And then they go get married, and all they know in their brain is no. We should have taught them the reason, the why, the how. It's the same thing for church service. We keep telling them, sit down and shut up, sit down and shut up, until where they sat down and shut up enough. There's no reason, no surprise why people leave church when they get underneath their parents' direction. Because it stinks most often. The music. Not that it's all about style, but I mean, I've been to places where it just sounds horrible. Not to the skill. There's no heart in it. There's no enthusiasm in it. There's no joy in it. I've been to places where the skill level of music was, but the heart was, and you can worship with that. You understand what I'm saying? The worship service should be more of a celebration. Matter of fact, in this passage, it says this. The marriage of the Lamb has come. The marriage of the Lamb has come. That's an event. What should the atmosphere of our service be like? Like a wedding. One that you're excited about. One where somebody you really, really love is getting married. Matter of fact, see the Lamb, he's going to get married to the bride, which is the church. How many unexcited, unenthusiastic, bored brides have you met? Well, just has to do with my wedding. That's all. I guess I'll go. You kidding me? Brides are crazy. They go through temporary insanity. They have so many different things. They're like, we're going to register for gifts, and then we're going to have rehearsals, and then we're going to go to this, and then we're going to have things after, and we're going to have things before, and we're going to take pictures, and I'm going to buy a dress, and I'm going to... The whole time the dude's going, what have I done? Who are you? But the bride of Christ comes together, preparing for a day that will come. The marriage of the Lamb has come. That's what chapter 19, verse 7 says. A day is going to come. We come to the rehearsal all like, whatever. Nah, that's not the way it's supposed to be. It's not supposed to be like a funeral. It's not supposed to be like whatever. It's supposed to be like, oh my goodness, the one who came and died for me. Talk about chivalry not being dead. He didn't lay down his coat across the puddle. He laid his body on the cross and said, I've come to get you. He won't be held. You know, there's love songs. Oh, honey, I'd climb mountains and swim oceans, and if I died, I'm going to wait for you, baby. Well, Christ didn't even let death hold him back. He's going to be there. We are not going to be a bride left at the altar alone. The groom is coming. And we get to worship and practice and rehearse. That's how a worship service should be. That's the atmosphere. The action is God-focused. There's action. There's action in a worship service. This is what we do. Everybody stand up. You don't got to stand up, man. You're all right. Because I have no idea what we're going to do now. I'm just figuring, you know, it's action. So you're on your feet now, right? And there's action in a worship service. It's a God-centered action. We give him glory. Amen. Need I say more? So, listen. We give God glory, and that can happen in a couple different ways, but I want to tell you two. One way that we do in worship service is we sing. We sing. And you know, another thing we can do is while we're, you can stand. You don't have to stand. But can I tell you something that I don't like, and I know somebody's going to do it here after. I may even do it. I just did it to y'all. I made y'all stand, or I make y'all sit. I don't like going to church services where they stand up now, sit down now, stand up, sit down, kneel down, roll over. You know, that ain't, I'm not about that, but I've asked you to stand up now just to kind of prove this point. There's an action, a Godward-focused action. Y'all, when you and I come here to praise, here to sing, we ought to do it like that song and leave it behind. Whatever that's keeping you in your seat, whatever is on your mind, whatever is on your heart that's weighing you down, leave it behind. Whatever it is, can I promise you something? If you will focus on God, even if it's just for this short time, we didn't even worship God through song for 30 minutes, but if we did it for 30 minutes, I promise you this, the things that you worried about throughout that 30 minutes will be there after that 30 minutes over if you took that 30 minutes off. Almost like, you know what? I'm going to take a break, and I'm not going to worship for these 30 minutes. I'm going to stand. I'm going to, if I need to raise my hands, if I need to bow my head, if I need to sing out loud, whatever it is I need to do. If you're not a singer or a stander or a raiser, but you can raise your heart up to him, get into God. That's what this whole thing is about, to give him glory, is to say behind it all, God is worthy of the glory. It also says to continually offer him the sacrifice of praise, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. We can just be grateful. You know what charges worship more than anything? I believe this is a grateful heart. Someone who realized who they were and who they are, and the difference is God. Has a grateful heart that just raises praise up. Those are the Godward actions that we can take. Now you can be seated. I thought about having y'all like run around or do something weird, like, do this! Stretch! This is not a stretch. But I like doing it. Okay. Everybody, don't tell Matt at CrossFit. Anyway. We come, we give him glory, we sing. Look, this is the, you want to know the attitude of this? It's like a priest's attitude. It's priestly. Hebrews 13 says, continually offering the sacrifice of praise to God. Who offers the sacrifice of praise? In the Old Testament, they were called priests. In the New Testament, in the book of 1 Peter in chapter 2, right around verse 10, it says, you're a chosen nation, a royal priesthood, proclaiming the praises of him who brought you out of darkness and into light. It says you and I have that priestly ministry now of lifting up praises to God. Here's a newsflash, international Middle East newsflash. There ain't no temple in Jerusalem to bring a sacrifice to praise God. But there ain't no need for it because Jesus Christ, the sacrifice that ended all sacrifice, was crucified on Calvary, rose from the dead, and we can praise him right here and do the priestly work. And what he asked of us is to praise the fruit of our lips. To sing out. Don't come here. Please. You can come. Let me take that back. You come here. I don't care. This is where everyone is welcome. If you're tied up and twisted and an earthbound misfit, that's okay. You're welcome here. Okay? It don't matter. You can come here. But let me ask you something. Those who are members, those who love Christ, y'all, we need to grow out of this crazy watching people perform and get in the game and lifting our voice to God. I know we got a good band. We got a great band. I know it's wonderful. I know they're up on it. It's hard to say. I told them this morning, I said, it's hard not to say don't be lifted up on a pedestal because we built a big pedestal to lift you up on. But this is for the convenience of being able to see, to being able to lead, not for a performance. The performance comes from us. God is the audience of our action. He's the one that we're giving it on to. It's not like we pay these guys, like you're paid to play, so play. They're not paid to play. They love the Lord. They're using their talents and gifts to lead us, not to perform for us. And I know some people make a big deal about clapping. I love to clap. I love to clap. I love to say amen. I love to sit over here and rock back and forth. Usually I'm in the back pacing like a wild animal trying to make fun of these guys up here and just getting into the whole deal. But I'm going to be up front from now on, acting like a crazy maniac. Because, y'all, look, we're not here for us. We're not here for them. We're here to worship God. Okay? And so we got that God-focused action. Another part of that, let me just say, is testimony. To give testimony to God. Give testimony about how God is good. One of my favorite things is to be a witness. And when I'm a witness, it's not always sharing the gospel message like witnessing or evangelizing. Oftentimes it's witnessing, let me tell you what God has done today. Let me tell you what God I've seen God do. And it's beautiful. It's beautiful to be able to witness that way and to witness the way of sharing the gospel and being an evangelist. But these are God-focused things. And can I tell you, if you're saved, you got a testimony. See that fly that hit me on the nose? I promise it gets real close, I'm going to eat it. It don't have a stinger on it. I'm not afraid of it. But listen, we want to get to where it's a God-focused action. Lastly, we want to get to where our lives are being cultivated in that way of worship. Where our lives are really being focused in on becoming, where we're becoming worshipers. Our bodies, our lives are becoming our homes, are becoming our cars, are becoming everything about us is becoming an instrument of worship. Our likes are steadily becoming instrument of worship. You know, this is a path that I'm still on. I'd like to tell you, as your pastor, I've answered all these questions and I've got all this settled. I still have so much growing to do in this area. But listen to this. It says in Revelation 19:7, It says, for the merits of the Lamb has come. Let me just remind you about the grace of God, that it's complete, it's coming. He's done it all. But then it says this, and his wife has made herself ready. The bride has made herself ready. What does that point to? That points to a life that has continued to develop, a life that has been growing up into Christ, into Christian maturity. Y'all listen, as parents, we want to see our children grow up. We want to see them grow up in maturity to take on adult responsibilities. We want to see them grow up. We want to see them grow in wisdom. We want to see them grow. God wants to see his children to grow. He's given us everything. And part of the worship that we can give to God on a daily basis is growing in that godly lifestyle. The wife has made herself ready. She has done the necessary things to walk with him and talk with him, and she's grown. In the verses after that verse, it says, the righteous acts of the saints actually become the beautiful dress that the bride of Christ wears. And I know so many people are down on the church, but I just ask you to look. Just look at the Christian hospitals, orphanages, charities, food pantries, disaster reliefs, advances on all these things through the church. Those people who nobody sees do anything, and yet they are secretly before God praying for their neighbor's welfare, that they're praying and they're serving people that are totally behind the scenes and they don't know. These are the acts of the saints, of us making ourselves prepared of a life of worship. Y'all get what I'm saying? And in that Hebrews verse, it says, continually offering the sacrifice of praise to God. Just that one word alone, continually, captures a lifestyle more than a moment, right? We come here with our faults and our failures. We come here even if we're down and depressed all week. We come here even if we've sinned, even if we've fallen, maybe especially if we've sinned, especially if we've fallen. We come here to refocus ourselves on God, to realign our lives in becoming worshipers. We come here to put him first again, to help one another, to stir one another up towards good works. Amen? This is what worship looks like. And I just had to say this in closing, and even in the invitation, when we begin to worship, it really is us coming to an end of ourselves. And again, that might not happen all at once. It hasn't happened that way with me. But I have times where I have to come to the end of my self-will, my preferences, my way, my will, my wants and desires. I come to an end of those things in preference for God, in preference for what he has, in preference for who he is. Worship looks like that. I'm going to tell you some of the best times of worship that I had, and it's been a little while. I was walking, and this was a little bit of a solo mission, but it helped me when I got back in here too. I was walking from the transformation center to my house because my car had died. It's 5 miles. It was June or July. It was hot, and I was roasting, and I was walking down 51, determined to make it, probably out of sheer stupidity, all right? Just sweating, melting away, kind of like I feel like I am right now, but just walking, and I thought for a moment I was going to die. I really did. I thought I was just going to die. I was like, I ain't going to make it. I've decided to do this, and I am so dumb. I'm going to die. I'm going to fall right next to this armadillo. Somebody's going to come put a beer in my hand and take a picture of me on the side of the road, all stiffened up. But when I got that realization, I also got this one. Because, I mean, I felt it. But I got this. It'll be all right. Because God has got you. And when I got that, let me tell you what happened. I got happy. I got happy in the Lord. It's like I'm saved and I'm happy. I'm ready. It's okay. It's not about me anyways. All these things started pouring into me about how much I'm loved, how much I'm cared for and taken care of by God, and it's going to be all right now. He loves my wife and He loves my children. It's going to be all right now. Everything is going to be all right because God is in control and I am not. When you come to that realization, watch how the pressure can come off of you and you can worship. And then we come together and we can worship. Do you see it? Do you see it? I can preach for another hour if you don't see it. You see it? Thank you. I see it. I saw the light. Look, if there's something you need to drop and say, look, this needs to die in me. This needs to stop so I can worship. This is your time. We're going to have a time of invitation. This time is for you. Father God, thank you for loving us. And as we lift our voices and sing again together, I would pray that you would do your work. Maybe there's somebody in here that needs to share, needs to get off their chest this pressure of thinking somehow they run their life, that they run the world that they live in, as if things would not be okay if they just let down the burden of this world for a half hour and gave you praise. Father, for that one who's trapped and tangled in their own web of self-importance, help them, Father, to come and see you high and lifted up and to yield. You don't ask us to be unemployed. You don't ask us to not pay our rent and not go about our responsibilities. You ask us to worship you. Father, would you help us to do that for real? And if there's any here, they don't know you. They don't know your goodness, and worship seems so foreign to them. Would you help them come to know the one who died for them? You say, blessed is the one who is invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And maybe there's someone here, and they don't know if the invitation's come through. Or it's come through, but they haven't RSVP'd. Father, I pray that you would make that arrangement, that they would say, yes, yes, I accept your invitation. Yes, I accept Christ as my Lord. Father, would you do that work in their life today too? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This is your time. We're going to have, I'm going to ask you if the ushers would come forward for the morning offering. But remember, we're always growing in our worship. And just take that opportunity. You might say, man, I don't feel comfortable singing. You can sing in your heart. You might say, my knees don't work. I can't bow down. You can bow your heart down. You can bow your will down and your mind down before God. And so don't ever forget those things. Let me pray for us. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this time. And Lord, as we take up the offering, both of those verses say, and giving glory to God, and giving thanks to God. And so, Father, in our giving, we want to glorify you. Thank you for allowing this opportunity to worship. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I have the results of the Operation Christmas Child Bake Sale winners. Are you ready? Sherry Cressman, banana pudding. Sarah Goldwater, chicken noodle soup and cookies. Yum. Debbie Fennell, lasagna shells. Beth Roberts, lasagna shells. Carrie H., you got the whole lasagna. I don't know what happened. The rest of y'all got just the shells. Carrie H., you also got the Shaw strawberry cream. I'm like, strawberry cake. Yes, that's what you got. Wherever you are, I don't see you. She's back there. Gwen Foster, you got the pineapple cake. Svetlana Russell, you got the apple sauce cake. And then there's a chocolate cake, whoever just wants it. But you got to steal it from Keisha. Yeah. All right. Yeah. All right. Hey, y'all, look, next week we're going to hear, as we speak about worship and our hearts lifted up, part of that, like I said, is the godly lifestyle, getting involved in what God would have us to do. Next week we're going to have a guest speaker, Shane Boyette. Shane is a bricklayer. He's going to talk to you about laying bricks. No, I don't think that's what he's going to talk to you about. God grabbed a hold of his heart. He has never been to seminary. He never had a Bible class. I don't know what all Shane does except for this. God grabbed a hold of his heart. And a couple years back, he started a ministry called Ojava in Guatemala. And now that ministry that started from just God getting a hold of one church member feeds over 100 children a day gets the gospel out in a very impoverished area of the world. And I just want you to hear his heart. And so once we start to worship God, we start to think to ourselves, let's invite somebody to come to the well and drink. Once our hearts have been filled to the measure, let's say to somebody else, let me show you what Jesus can do for you. Amen? All right. Let's pray, and then we'll be dismissed. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for what you do, for who you are, and allowing us to gather, to worship. Freedom of speech and freedom of religion is useless if you don't use it to glorify you. So help us, Father, to exercise our rights. And Lord, we love you, and we give you all the praise. We do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Also, Sunday school at 9:30 and Wednesday worship at 6:30. You're all invited to those things. I love you all. Thank you for letting me be your pastor. Ready? Break.